From the deep guttural rumbling of the four engines below the waterline, the 1,000-foot-long freighter Walter J. McCarthy, Jr. conjures the power to push 68,000 tons of coal across Lake Superior. First mate John Kernahan navigates the giant black ship with a few keystrokes of the shipboard's satellite computer. He charts a course fabled for its dangerous storms of November.
I don't run into many sailors today who have a sense of awe about their experience. That's a thing of the past, I really believe. And it's one of the losses out here.
Kernahan is wistful as he opens a hatchway for a taste of the clear air. For this son of a sailor, Great Lakes freighters run throughout family folklore, having employed his grandfather, father, and him. Since his grandfather's day, the Great Lakes shipping industry has fought its way through recent hard times by focusing on efficiency and survival. But as Great Lakes freighters now aim for new records, some like Kernahan believe that an era is forever slipping away. Kernahan cut his teeth at the Seafarers International Union Hall on Chicago's South Side in the late 1960s.
In some ways, you know, it was a free and, you know, kind of carefree gypsy life. It was kind of an unofficial social welfare society. Those guys, they worked hard, they partied hard, and they did stick together.
But the recession of the 1980s hit the mariners like an anchor. The hardship forced companies to restructure and trim the fat. The glory days came to a halt, and the oldest, least efficient freighters were sailed to the scrapyard. In 1967, when Kernahan was looking for work, there were nearly 400 U.S. Lake freighters. Now, barely 60 remain. But these are the new breed. In one trip, a 1,000-foot-long super freighter like the McCarthy carries what once took 5 older freighters. International cargo ships that also sail the Great Lakes have changed with the times as well. They bring slabs of steel from Russia and carry American grain overseas. But as their payloads have changed, even the ocean-bound ships have lost their luster and have less need for traditional manpower.
38.
2694.
We're back on the dunny,
37s. Oh, I'm sorry. You have a relief deck open.
On a recent morning, toughened longshoremen scuff their boots on the pavement outside Ceres Terminals on Chicago's waterfront. When foreman Timothy Gaddis arrives at 7:45 sharp, the 50 or so men gather up close, hoping for a job.
Wait a minute.
69.
But almost half those waving their union cards will find no work this morning.
6907.
6907. Load number one.
Those who do will work hard and dangerously, hoisting 25-ton rusty slabs from a ship's hold. Most of the crew is over 60 years old. They are men like Timothy Gaddis, whose life has long played its course on these docks.
There's a lot of senior people here because this has been their life for 40 years, and they don't know how to pack up and leave. And the other thing is that our union doesn't have a real good, stable pension plan. They're not going to go anywhere because they just don't have enough money to survive. We just have to go on, that's all, the best we can.
While longshoremen vie for daily work, freighter owners streamline to increase efficiency. But if the industry has improved its business savvy, the ships themselves have gotten friendlier. Few mariners would deny that the newest breeds of vessel are more comfortable, easier to handle, and much safer. Yet many a sailor admits that such advantages erode the idealistic appeal of life on the open waters. It used to be that once at sea, a vessel was autonomous. Now, cellular phones, faxes, and email put the ship in constant contact with the home office. In the McCarthy's wheelhouse, first mate John Kernahan ponders a passing era when mariners had a different touchstone.
There was an element of mysticism in sailing.
Today, he says water is something you go over, not through, and that much of the last romanticism of Great Lakes shipping was taken to the bottom of Lake Superior when the Edmund Fitzgerald sank on November 10th, 1975.
There's a saying, if you don't have a sense of your own history, you don't have a sense of who you are. Sometimes I go up through Lake Superior, and in my mind's eye, I see these black-robed Jesuit priests in birch bark canoes. I think it's a shame there's not a more of a sense of that kind of thing.
For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm J. Carl Ganter.